Okay. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this meeting, the Appeals and Review meeting on Monday, the 30th of January, 2023. This meeting is being recorded and will subsequently be made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or recordings is not under the Council's control. And can we all please silence and move our phones? Right, apologies. We have one apology from Councillor Judy Bradshaw, but that doesn't really matter because there's still five of us, so we have a good quorum. Maybe you could spend a minute to introduce ourselves. My name is John Capleton, I'm chairing the meeting. I'm Councillor for Mount Sorrel.
Councillor Julian Howe, Vice Chair, Councillor for Birstall.
Councillor Laurie Needham, Councillor for East Goskett.
Councillor Simon Bradshaw, Councillor for Syston East Ward.
Laura Strong here to take the minutes this evening.
Rupert Sims, Senior Ecological Officer.
I'm Mark Fennell, I'm the Team Leader for Natural and Built Environment.
I'm Andrew Whitfield, I'm Solicitor representing Blythe Farms Limited, who are the owners of a large part of the land in question.
Adrian Coombs, I'm one of the landowners of the smaller strip associated with the
I'm Catherine Harrison, I'm the Principal Solicitor, I'm the Legal Advisor for the Committee for the Council.
Okay, thank you. Now, another item is minutes of the previous meeting held on the 25th of July 2022, a long time ago. So this was the pump house on Coates Road, Barrow and Saw, if you all remember.
Yep.
I've read the minutes, I can't see anything wrong with them. Does anybody have any objections? Can we have a proposal, please? Julian, you second that?
I'll second.
Laurie, thank you. Questions under other committee procedures. There were no questions were submitted. And disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. I have no interests. Any other councillors?
No
other councillors, are there? Right, so we have the Borough of Charnwood, Kings Lane, South Croxton Tree Preservation Order 2022. I'd like to ask the representative head of strategic support, Catherine Harrison, to introduce the report, please.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Yes, we're here tonight to consider the Borough of Charnwood, Kings Lane, South Croxton Tree Preservation Order 2022. The order has been made in draft form, but we have received objections to it, so it's to be decided by the committee. The options open to committee tonight are to confirm the order without modification, or you may decide to confirm it with modification, or alternatively not to confirm the order, in which case it will fall away. The test that you need to apply is a test on the interest of amenity primarily, but having the objectors are here to put forward their case, so after listening to their representations, reading the report from the head of planning, and also the objections that are contained in the report, we need to decide whether in the interest of amenity the order should not be confirmed.
Thank you very much. The representative of the head of Governance and Human Resources, Rupert Sims, would you like to present your case, please?
Yeah, hello, committee. So this is an order that was made following a visit by enforcement in June of this year. Initially, in response to a hedgerow removal, that's an outstanding matter and it's not part of this order. The hedgerow is not part of the woodland, but it does form a historic boundary feature along the eastern side of the site. However, it became apparent as a result of this visit that quite a few trees had been removed. I followed up with a visit to the site and could see that there were, and on that basis decided to make the order. It didn't become apparent to me during that visit actually quite what the extent of removal was, because what looks like the woodland boundary is well inside. This is, I'm talking about the western side now. Well inside where the boundary used to be, and so part of the woodland on the western side seems to have been absorbed as part of a garden really. It's no longer recognisable as woodland and quite a few trees have been removed from it. It looks much more like grassland with some boundary shrubs. Okay, so this site's on the eastern edge of South Croaston. It has a footpath going across it. It's a well-used footpath. I think there's a footpath diversion application in with the County Council at the moment. That's still under consideration. I think there is an objection from the Parish Council. But on the basis that it's so well used and clearly well used, it's a well established path that's been, I used it first in 2018. It was easily usable and accessible then. And as far as I can tell, it has been in the intervening period. It certainly looks that way on the ground. I would suggest that public use is the main mainstay of its amenity interest. You know, it's a semi-natural site, it's an area of woodland and semi-natural habitat that's well used by villagers from South Croaston as part of their recreation for walking on public footpaths, and they enjoy the woodland as part of that. That's where it derives its amenity value from. The primary purpose of tree preservation orders is their amenity value, but biodiversity is a secondary purpose, and I would say that in this case, as with most woodlands with public access, those two things overlap. People go to woodlands to enjoy nature, and so their biodiversity value is part of their amenity value. It's clear that whilst the sort of semi-mature trees, they're mostly ash, have been retained, the understory has been completely stripped out, and whereas you had quite an enclosed space before, quite a secluded space, you can now see through from one side to the other, and you can see that in the photographs that are provided. You can see as well the scale of woodland removal that's taken place. There's a couple of very large brush piles there. There are one or two larger trees within that, but it is mostly scrub, which is why I think the Forestry Commission concluded that they weren't able to issue a sort of a restocking notice and a breach of licence, prosecute for failing without a licence, as they have done on other orders that are brought to this committee in the past, because the sort of threshold is around commercially usable timber, and I would say that hawthorn and those understory plants, while they're an important part of the woodland, they add to the complexity of its structure, its biodiversity value, the sense of seclusion you get walking through it, and so on and so forth. They're not commercially valuable, even as firewood, really. And I think that probably tells us why the Forestry Commission didn't prosecute in this case, where I've seen them prosecute for much less woodland removal in the past, and that tells me as well that the tree preservation order is doing a useful job beyond the capabilities of the Forestry Act. It's been suggested that the order's not workable, but it's a woodland order, and it's deliberately a woodland order which permits positive woodland management, really. There's an expectation that woodland management can and will go on, and that could include clearance, but the sort of wholesale clearance that has happened, I don't believe is a good example of woodland management, of positive woodland management. And whilst there is a footpath diversion application in place which requires a new route through the woodland, the removal that's taken place down that side is well beyond what would be required for that, and what I can see has been put in place is a vehicle access. Now clearly the landowner needs to be able to access their land, and so you might say that that's reasonable and they should be able to maintain an access, but it's become clear to me that neither owner in this case has undertaken what I would regard as positive woodland management, and that's why I think the order is needed. It does allow some flexibility. It could be according to a management plan. It could be according to some sort of fairly basic criteria that would be easy to follow. What's also been brought to my attention actually is that part of the woodland isn't under tree cover. Now, I can see that in some parts that's demonstrably because trees have been removed, but in the case of the southern part of the woodland, it looks, you know, going back through aerial images, that it never was under woodland cover, and it might be appropriate to exclude that area. Although, you know, you might just as well look at that area as being a woodland clearing and keep it in. You know, clearings are a part of woodland, and so there's a debate I think to be had there. But I've suggested on figure 2 in appendix 3 a possible approach that could be sort of brought forward with a revised plan were the committee minded to do that, which would exclude the southern part of the woodland. So just to explain those two diagrams, there are two blue lines in the aerial image. The curvy line follows Quenneborough Brook, and the straight line roughly follows the edge of the tree canopy, what you could say the edge of the current woodland is. Mm-hmm. If you were to take the view that what's south of that is not woodland and not woodland clearing, and the plan below that shows the OS layer with those two same lines and just a marker in red on the right hand side to calibrate how far up that eastern boundary that line is and where it might be reasonable to draw across there to exclude that southern portion. So I'll probably leave it there. I suspect there may be questions.
One thing I'd like to ask, I was going to ask you to explain the a woodland TPO, and you've done some to some extent. Now, with a straight TPO, you can't do anything to that land, as I understand it. But the woodland TPO, you can manage it. But where does the difference lie, please?
It's because a woodland TPO doesn't just protect the existing trees, it protects any future trees and any seedlings. It protects trees of any size right from the ground up, including mature trees. But, you know, woodland management does require intervention from time to time. And I think the line could be drawn according to sort of some fairly basic ecological criteria. I could provide examples, but you'd expect sort of fairly continuous canopy cover. You may expect some structural complexity, and that where clearance is undertaken, it's not done in a wholesale manner across the whole piece, but is perhaps more gradual and respectful of the ecology there and people's enjoyment of it, I suppose. And so, yeah, there's a difference in that you might bring forward a management plan that says, well, this is how we're going to manage the woodland, and we'd say, great, carry on. But perhaps only intervene if we thought that or had reports that there was more extensive clearance going on, for example. Whereas when you've got an individual tree, you know, that individual tree's protected, and its health could be quite seriously affected, even by having branches removed carelessly and so on, and being, you know, by contrasting that with woodland management, which it could include coppice management, which would involve cutting trees right down to the ground and then letting them regrow. You know, as long as you're not doing that and grubbing up the stumps and actually letting them regrow, that's positive woodland management, and it often forms a component of conservation management. So there's quite a wide range of operations that fit within looking after a woodland, really.
And this management plan would have to be agreed between the owner and the council, is that right?
Oh, I think that, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Any other councillors have any questions? Yes, please.
Yeah, part of the, one of the objections was that an online ash dieback map shows that there may be infected areas extending to the north of the King's Lane. Did you find any evidence of ash dieback at all?
Ash dieback is throughout the county. You know, it's not just in Charlwood. It's in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I am increasingly seeing reports which claim evidence of ash dieback and use ash dieback as a pretext for removing trees. Yeah. I didn't see any evidence of ash dieback here, and it is something, you know, I'm familiar with the symptoms, I've reported it before. It's not obviously present in this woodland, but I think that part of the objection talks about replanting with ash. And actually, it would be illegal to do that anyway, because you can't transport ash around the country. I think what you could do is allow for an element of natural regeneration, and that's something I've recommended in planning applications before, where we've looked at expansion of areas of woodland as part of a, you know, development of public open space to allow ash to be present on a site without planting it. It's not quite clear what the pattern and the progress of ash dieback is. It's around and it's here, but you know, there are many different pathogens that affect ash trees, and there are many different things that might explain poor health in an ash tree. But the trees in this woodland, they're pretty healthy actually, and if you were to replant, you wouldn't have to restrict it to ash. You could use other broadleaf species that would fit in quite appropriately anyway.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I've got a question about the replanting. Are you suggesting that the replanting happens, you know, it sounds obvious, but where it's been cleared? So restocking that bit with new trees?
I think so. I think there's a discussion to be had here. I think what I need to understand is how important it is to maintain a vehicle access here, and then what we do about reinstating the hedge, that being the case. That's on the eastern side of the woodland. There is, throughout the remainder of the woodland, moving west, there's no understory anymore. But that would regenerate in time, but a little bit of understory planting would probably help get that going again. It could be done at fairly low cost and fairly quickly. And then on the western side, where there's that strip which has been just cut right down, I think definitely there needs to be some replanting there. But I don't, you know, there is a house next door to that, and I think there are obviously concerns around that, notwithstanding that the woodland was there before the house was. I think there is a part of that strip of land which has been clear of canopy trees for some time, but it has had scrub in it. And scrub, you know, just as it's been present throughout the woodland, would be appropriate, you know, scrub with some standard trees, you know, some of your oak and perhaps lime. With a bit of ash regeneration to create some standards down that western strip would be absolutely fine. But scrub understory is a really important component of woodland, and it's an important component of woodland edge as well, and it kind of softens the edge and grades the edge. It would help re-establish that as a quiet place for people to walk through, and it would help re-establish the biodiversity of it, and the bird nesting habitat, which is you walking through and hearing birds, song and seeing birds. That's what you're going to enjoy about that sort of thing, really. So I think particularly on the western boundary there needs to be some replanting, but it could be a mixture of scrub species as well as high canopy species.
Anything from you, Julian?
No, thank you.
Okay, could I just clarify a bit on page 38? It's right at the top. I think it's your document from Rupert. Could you go over this again, please? The committee may therefore wish to consider an alternative drawing the boundary in woodland round. You mentioned that you touched on it before.
Yeah.
Can you go over that again?
Sure. So the last two, the last page, I have suggested that it could be regarded that this area that you can see in that photograph does not have trees in it, is a woodland clearing. It's surrounded by woodland on all sides, but you may regard, and the objector has raised this as a point, that it doesn't have trees and it never has had. That's a fair point. And so I've suggested that that section south of that blue line, the straight blue line, could be removed from the order, though it need not necessarily be removed from the order. And so you can see it as an aerial image where I've drawn a line up along the bottom of the canopy, and then I've transposed that onto an OS map and measured the distance between Quenborough Brook and where the canopy edge is, and that's 22 metres. So what I would propose to do, were the committee minded to move in that direction, would be to draft another plan showing the southern edge of that woodland to to be a straight line and to be 22 metres north of the Quenneborough Brook where right. it meets that boundary.
Where does that fit in on the broader scale of things? Taking the map of the whole area, I can't position that on the...
Oh, OK. Yeah, I see. Yeah. I'll just find that here. Do you mean, is this helpful?
Yeah, yes.
So 22 metres straight, so 22 metres up from here, it comes across roughly here.
Okay, so around about the queue area.
So, and if you can see that curved line of Quenneborough Brook there, and you can also see it to the back page. You can see that same line there.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, fine. I'm with you. Okay, no further questions? Mr. Coombs and Mr. Whitfield, do you have any questions you'd like to ask? Because these questions not your case.
If I could ask a few questions, if that's all right. I received the TPO order and made my representations in the due period and on the 10th of October. Then I received an email from Mr. Sims suggesting that the TPO is actually a woodland TPO. This was not made clear in the original order and is not included in the text of the order anywhere. So I have an issue with that. You should allow the landowners to respond accordingly with you in due time when you're changing the rules, and change them after the end date of the response, I think, is unfair.
I see. Okay.
The second thing is, I've got some photographs which I'd like to...
We'll ask you, we'll give you time to present your case. Yes. These are just really questions arising from Rupert's presentation.
Okay, yes. I've got photographs here, which you'll be able to see in a minute, which show low-level scrub in the 1990s, up to 2006, and the aerial image number 2 that I'll circulate later shows part of the site closest to the barn, as do photographs 5, which I'll also circulate. These show no trees and very little scrub land in most of the images, contrary to what you're suggesting. If that's okay, I'll circulate those.
Okay, thank you.
You referred to the footpath access in the details being accessible in 2019. This was not actually the true case, as photographs will once again confirm, and your photographs confirm. The metal gate was lifted off its hinges to gain access to the footpath, and so there are errors in the way that the detail has been presented.
Okay. Mr. Gibbs, you will have time to make your case.
These are the questions.
Okay, right.
The other thing, you suggested that we have constructive suggestions regarding the site with the ecologist, Mr. Sims. Our meeting is tomorrow, so we've not really met at all on site, so that's an error as well in the documentation. And there are views around the invasiveness of the hawthorn and bracthorn that I'll cover.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions?
Would you be okay to deal with the questions from Mr. Coombs before we move on to Mr. Whitfield? Would that be acceptable, Chair? Yeah, just so it's easier for us to
keep.
Just going to defer to my colleague Laura Strong here on the first question about the way that the order was initially issued.
I was just a bit unclear. The first question you asked Mr. Coombs about the order not originally being clear that it was a woodland order. So the order that was served and sent to you is the original order. I'll tell you that was on the agenda. So the order set out at Annex 1 in the agenda, and on page
19.
My copy of it, that's in one of the agendas. That's fine. So on page 8 of the agenda, that's the schedule that was with the copy of the order sent to you. It clearly states on the 4th down that it's the woodland order. It states that woodlands above. Yes. And the plan itself also indicates that it's a woodland order. So I'm not sure.
No, you've used the description, tree special and individually. Tree is specified by reference to an area.
Which state not,
groups of
yeah.
tree and woodland.
Yes.
It is a woodland.
Yes,
but
it's
nowhere on the order does it state anywhere that it's a woodland.
Well, the order refers to the schedule, and the schedule states it's a woodland.
It's very misleading.
I can't answer further than that. It's in the way the orders are normally set out legally. So, that was just that one I could help you with.
Catherine, does that sound all right to you?
It's our usual format.
Okay, yes.
If that's copy itself, that's how we usually have them.
Do you have anything
I may need to be reminded of some of the questions, but in response to the question about whether the site was accessible or not, I walked it myself in 2018 or 2019, I think it was 2019. It took me a while to twig that I'd been there before, because it was so different when I revisited the second time. It was an easily accessible site, you know, whether or not the gate was off the hinges or not. And it was accessible because it had a path going through it that was very well used. And it was very well used because it was worn by people walking on it. It's a clear path through the site. It was accessible. You know, as far as I think there were some questions about the assessment of the woodland cover along that strip. And I think it was suggested that there were scrub species there, and I wouldn't dispute that, but that scrub is part of that woodland. You know, it's shown as having continuous woodland canopy. It has done for a number of years. It's mapped as woodland on OS maps. There is a scallop immediately behind the house that has been cleared for a little bit longer, but that's had bramble scrub in it, and that's another form of scrub as well. Woodlands have clearings, they have graded edges, and I don't see any consistency in maintaining the woodland order all the way down that western boundary, albeit that the high canopy line might veer in and out of it slightly, and it makes no sense to draw the woodland order according to the canopy line, because it places it might stray beyond the woodland and it would change over time. So the order needs to be coherent and enforceable, and so I think it needs to follow a mapped boundary. And there's nothing within that strip down the western side that says this isn't woodland, really, you know, until recent clearing.
Okay. Anything further from you?
No, not unless I've missed things out, but...
Mr. Whitfield, do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
Or? Well, it might be useful, just a couple. In terms of the amenity, you talked about the amenity for the local residents passing through a woodland on a walk through the right of way. If you follow that right of way all the way through, it's basically through open farmland, isn't it, over fields to Bagrave Hall. It's only a very small element of the first part of it that goes through any kind of woodland.
I think the path no longer goes to Bagrave Hall on the south of it's the south of the brook is the old route, isn't it? And the footpath now goes to the north of the brook. But more or less, yes, it goes through the woodland and then out across fields.
Just across fields.
Yes.
So it's not as if any local residents are spending very long in that area, are they? They're only spending a matter of a minute or so as they walk through and then reach open fields.
You might speculate about that, but it would be speculation. And regardless, I would suggest that you don't have to spend very long in a woodland to gain enjoyment from it. It's part of, you know, people seek out woodlands for their walks in all sorts of situations.
This wasn't woodland for centuries, was it? This is only very, very recent that this has turned into woodland from open field, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct, yes.
In the last 20 years?
Correct.
Yes. You've suggested that my client cleared out the hawthorns and other scrub there was a complaint by Mr. Coombs about certain issues, and my client then went ahead and cleared out other areas. It's not the case that they cleared out areas as a result of the complaint, it's a result of the need to do it because it was overgrown. Because from 2019 to 2022, the area became overgrown. That's what Mr. Blythe has to say about it. Do you have any evidence to say that it wasn't overgrown in 2020, 21, up to the point it was cleared?
It's helpful to have that clarification about your reason for the objection, your reason for undertaking the work, that it wasn't directly in response to Mr. Coombs' complaint. Because
no, it was never said that in the objections. I think that was a misunderstanding from what you read, and you seem to suggest that things aren't perhaps you can't agree with certain matters in the objections because of various points, but that wasn't a point that was made. There was complaints from Mr. Coombs, but there was also a need to do it because it was overgrown. That's what Mr. Blythe has to say about it.
I think I would say that being overgrown is a matter of opinion and judgment rather than absolute an absolute state of or condition of the woodland. A woodland might be overgrown, but overgrown for what? And were it overgrown, how would you address that? By completely clearing out the understory, by removing all the trees? It's not clear to me that that there has been a sensitive judgment made, if that's your contention, about the extent to which the woodland was overgrown and the extent to which it needs clearing. What I'm suggesting to you, or what I've suggested in making this order, is that the clearance was overzealous, and whether or not it was overgrown, the extent of clearing that was undertaken was unnecessary.
You haven't got any evidence that in 2022, before it was done, that it wasn't, there wasn't a need to do it because you didn't see it there, did you?
I'm suggesting that what was done, whether it was needed or not, was not sensitive woodland management.
You've already said that that's subjective.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, it's not entirely subjective. There are objective criteria. There are objective criteria for assessing woodland condition, and the ecological value of a woodland. There are lots of objective measures by which one might assess a woodland and the extent to which it's been cleared or not.
But if we're dealing with amenity and the amenity to the local residents to walk through the area, and it was overgrown to such that they struggled to do that, then clearing would be a reasonable thing to do, would it not?
Are you talking about footpath access here?
Yes.
But it's not just the footpath that's been cleared, it's the whole woodland.
Well, if it needed clearing, it would be a reasonable thing to do.
If it needed clearing for access, it would be reasonable to clear enough to allow the access to continue. And there's no evidence that I've seen, based on my numerous visits to the site, that it was ever the case that path was overgrown. And actually, spending half an hour walking up and down it with a brush cutter would have done that. It didn't need the whole woodland clearing. So I don't think this could be presented as clearance for access, if that's what you're suggesting.
Well, perhaps there's more than one aspect to it. Perhaps it's clearance for access, but also, as was stated, to give room for the larger trees to grow naturally and not be overcrowded. Is that not a good reason to carry out some clearance?
I don't think actually that wholesale removal of the understory would be necessary for that. And actually, perhaps what you would do in that case would be some selective thinning of the canopy trees that were, after all, already well above the height of the understory. And so not in competition with those trees for light. In fact, the reverse would be true, that those canopy trees would be suppressing the understory. So it's not clear to me that would be entirely necessary.
Well, perhaps I can leave it there for now until we come back.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Coombs, do you have a case that you wish to present?
Yes, as long as I'm able to address the woodland TPO aspect as well as my original comments.
Well, I thought we responded to that, but anyway, carry on. Yeah.
Could I circulate these photographs, if possible? There's three sets.
two photographs of the site. If I could take the same one that way.
Can I just check, Mr. Coombs, are these additional to the ones that were included in the agenda papers?
They all are.
Yeah.
I'll just say that, thank you. For
One of the reasons for that is it's always the photographs that we've had as part of the agenda circulation were somewhat difficult to read, as they were. If I send this photograph around as well, this is, I've only had one of these, unfortunately. That's taken in the early 1990s, so it's a certified copy of a much that, basically, which is the aerial photograph that's been produced. This one is a photograph of my new house being built. That's dated 2006. And you can see the hedgerow to the left-hand side of the barn, which we've now converted. Mm-hmm. And to the left of that is the open land, which Mr. Sims suggests has been under tree cover. So to the right on the left hand side of the site,
yes,
there's a section of land there which yes. is still open without any tree cover. The trees are along the boundary there, the ditch line. But we have had problems with the trees. The trees have succumbed to some of the larger trees on that boundary. They've had a black mould that grew out of the trees, and a couple of trees were taken down in 2015. And there's a picture right at the end, number 10 I think it is, to show the state of the trees, which were hollow. So there was a reason for taking the trees down. We didn't take trees down just to take trees down.
Are these trees that you took down?
Yes, in 2015. And you'll see there's a photograph, photographs number 3 and 4. Photograph number 3, I've included that because I think Mr. Sims was in error saying that he was looking for replanting on the west of the barn, because this is the western side. This is the side that it has our access. He meant the eastern side. So I've included.
Just to clarify, western side of the woodland. Was what I referred to,
not the dwelling
of your property. Yeah.
That's right. So on the other side, which is the eastern side, this is a photograph taken in 2015, 2nd of April 2015, and you can clearly say that that's clear of woodland and under scrub and everything. So it's completely clear, no trees, nothing. So when Mr. Sims says that the trees need replanting, there never were any there. We've never had trees on that section. Had a lot of brush and hawthorn, and I agree that that's the case. Photograph number 5 shows the same area as photograph number 4, but from a different angle after just 3 years. So you can see how invasive in the background the hawthorn and blackthorn actually is. Considering they said that it's not invasive, I can tell you that is totally the contrary. Then we have a couple of photographs here that look. Photograph 7 looks down towards the southeast corner, the area that Mr. Sims suggests should be kept clear. And you can see once again the little yellow marker is one of the proposed boundary marker that I agreed with Mr. Blythe. So there are no trees on this side, or indeed the other side of that, for at least 20 metres. So that top section of the site there, very few trees on it, mm-hmm. and I can't recall Mr. Bly's contractors removing any trees from there, but they did remove all the, as Mr. Sims would call it, the understory. Photograph 9 is a copy of the gate and the adjacent stile, which
yes.
It was after completion, and photograph 8 shows it before the clearance was completed. And this is what I mean about the access. The access doesn't follow the route shown on the plan for the public footpath. The public footpath goes diagonally through the brush, and what they've done, the general public have taken the
gate off, thrown it in the brush, made their own access into the site, and then they've walked round the hawthorn and blackthorn that's got in the way. In fact, this footpath was actually rerouted in 2011 because you couldn't get access to the original footpath line. So what I'm suggesting here is that there on my strip of land and on Mr. Bly's towards the footpath, there were very few trees, and I can't recall him removing any of the ones that Mr. Sims is suggesting. So that's one part of the issue that I had. I'd just like to provide some comments regarding the current and proposed use of the site, if I could, in support of what I've just said. The land is agricultural. It remains agricultural, although generally dispersed hardcore below the site, the surface is an issue and continues to be an issue. And I also note that hardcore in the south and southeastern area of the main area, which you're suggesting should be an open area, I took some photographs the other day. The hardcore is about 1.2, 1.5 metres deep. So there's an awful lot of hardcore. Locals, before I moved there, suggested about 2,000 tonnes of hardcore were tipped on the site to build the levels up. But now there's a nice leaf litter on the top, and it supports weeds quite nicely. The new boundary fence, I subject to the erection of the new boundary fence that sits between Mr. Bly's retained land and our newly acquired strip, I have planted 823 RSPB approved hedging plants in a way that was, for me personally, to mitigate against any tree loss and also to disguise that fence, because a fence is an ugly thing, especially in agricultural land. So I'm hoping, and with Mr. Bly's permission, I agreed to put these hedging plants in, which will grow through the fence, mm-hmm. and the fence will disappear, and then that will form part of the environment, and obviously will increase the amenity. Nobody seems to have noticed those or mentioned them in any way. I also planted hedging on the other side of the our strip of land, and I was planning to plant more, because I've got at least 40 additional mixed variety hedging plants, and I wish to plant some trees as well down there, as it was. I had an email from Sarah Hallam, who suggested that, subject to this meeting, that I wait before I do anything else. So I've missed last year's season for planting, so it'll be another 12 months now or until November next year before anything can be put in. But we have no discussion about what's going in and what's suggested and what I think would be appropriate, because the meeting's tomorrow, even though we were trying to arrange it last year. So I would suggest, can I just say that vermin activity has reduced by 50%. Mm-hmm. I now spend £30-40 this year on rat treatments through my 7 bait stations. Last year I spent £140 on the very same, but that's that. And the bird population has increased dramatically. So we get finches, sparrows, blue tits, wrens, green woodpeckers, greater spotted woodpeckers, things that we never saw before. So what Mr. Blythe has done by clearing that land has really enhanced our bird population, as far as I can see, albeit we have lots of magpies, wood pigeons, pheasants and things, and we had the heron yesterday. So this, I think it's been, the clearance from my perspective has been beneficial. In my original letter I said I didn't object to
the order.
I think preserving the trees is a necessity, but I don't want to do something that would be to the detriment of my particular dwelling. I'd like to put some more trees in, I'd like to put some more planting in, which we've got to agree, but I don't intend on replanting the whole lot or letting the blackthorn and hawthorn come back to where it was before,
because we'll just have the same rat issue and various other things, and I won't be able to access it for maintenance. So, all I can say is that I would like you to look at the way that this sits in relation to the rest of the land. And then finally, I commissioned a report by the chap that does my trees, because he's the professional I'm not, and it relates to the tree group at the bottom end of the site, if I can pass those round. And it's the last paragraph, really. He talks about he knows whether a tree is alive or dead, and he just suggests that there are one or two of the ash that are suffering the first indications, and I wouldn't know what that is. Mr. Sims probably does, of ash dieback. He suggests that we've got elm, which is diseased, and one is dead. We've got a couple of pictures that I included before of trees which are leaning over at 45 degrees, and one with the crown broken. That's not included in his report. But interestingly, I received this report by email yesterday, and what he's suggesting is that because of the position of the fence line now that's on the site, that would make a natural boundary to the TPO. Now, but he also suggests that there's a lot of work to do on the existing trees, which have overstayed their usefulness effectively. They are really in poor condition, and suggests coppicing them so that they can grow back in accordance with the other hedging that I've laid there, right, to create a hedge which will obviously thicken up over time. And I'm quite happy to do that. I think that would be a really good solution.
So, can you sort of sum it up for me? What are you actually asking? What are you asking the committee to do?
I'm asking
because you're saying that you had no objection to the TPO itself, but you do suggest that certain part of the land should be excluded.
I'm saying that the TPO must recognise that where I can prove that there have been no trees, that you don't replant trees. Mm. And also, obviously, got to think about the impact on the barn conversion that we have. And as you're probably aware, the British Association of Insurance insists that there are trees that can be planted within a certain distance from the house. And the minimum distance is 10 metres. The width of that piece of land is 9.4. So I won't be able to plant, in accordance with the insurers, any trees in that section if I wanted to. So the practicalities must lead this, I think.
This picture we have here on page 13.
Yes.
I'm just trying to visualise this. I presume that within the domestic land use, it's your barn conversion,
correct,
you can see that. And that domestic land use, is that all your land?
Yes.
Okay. And the agriculture,
well,
is that yours,
yes,
as well? Okay.
Yes.
And then the green strip?
That's the piece that we purchased from Mr. Blythe.
Okay.
Mr. Blythe offered to do that. And because of we've had 15 years of real hassle with the trees. The first tree that had to be taken down, the top broke off the tree in a high wind, bounced off the top of the barn, smashed the tiles, rolled off the end of the barn, crushed my wife's car, which had to be written off, and smashed the bonnet of mine. So we knew we had issues with the trees. That was the first instance. And since then, we've had a couple of trees blow over every year. And that instigated a series of conversations by letter going back to 2014, which I have copies of. Now, I agree that Mr. Blythe hasn't cleared this land because of my objections, because my little objections with regard to replacing, clearing up tree damage, are relatively low on his priority list. But he obviously made him sit up and think about it, especially when people like the power people were writing about the power leads that run through the trees, so they need to be managed. And nobody had managed it for decades.
So you're asking that this order be, that your 9.3 metre wide strip be excluded from this order?
Well, actually, I wasn't asking that necessarily. That's what the tree surgeon suggests is the right way forward. He says that's the simplest way forward, to amend the order to do that. And I would agree that I think the trees within the Group 1 area, which was the part of my objection, need to be managed properly. So if we could agree that those were managed properly in accordance with his guidance, then I think that would be the way forward. Which is as an absolute minimum, I would like to be assured that there's no requirement for me to plant trees either within the area of my barn, because it's within 10 metres, or within areas where there were no trees before. That's all.
Okay. Anybody any comments? Rupert, do you have any comments, please?
Yeah, I do. This assessment that's come forward, that we've just seen for the first time today, has been carried out after the clearance has taken place, so it's a limited value. Just ask you bear that in mind.
Can I just make
the hedgerow that Mr. Coombs referred to is shown here.
Yes.
You can see the previous woodland boundary here, and this is the area that's been cleared. Whilst it's been suggested that there's been no opportunity to address this and discuss a way forward, you'll see in Appendix 2 there's an email from me which invites Mr. Coombs to, or offers advice about how replanting could be brought forward, which recognises the circumstance of him having built a house next to the woodland.
Yes.
And as I suggested before, that area that you can see in these photographs that we're also seeing the first time today, we've got aerial images going back for 30 years, and whilst that is the situation from the early 1990s, it's clearly now a woodland and has been for some time, and this particular area in this question has been periodically cleared. But as Mr. Coombs said himself, it's had hawthorn in it, it's had brambles in it and so forth. It's been an area of scrub that has been periodically cleared. Now, as I said to you before, that's entirely consistent with woodland management up to a point, and there's no reason why that couldn't again attain a scrub character that would not threaten Mr. Coombs' barn next door, because by definition scrub is 5 metres and below, wouldn't cause a safety concern. And similarly, with regard to trees that have been removed from this strip, which we can now see again, I think you've seen the photograph already, more recently here, there's no reason why that would threaten the safety of Mr. Coombs' house, because it's so very far away from it. I don't find the suggestion that we've got a late in the day tree report after the tree clearance has taken place is a helpful way to decide where the woodland boundary actually is, because we can still see where it actually is here, and it's this hedgerow. As far as the footpath access is concerned, I think this is largely academic, to be honest. I don't see this as being a desire line or some kind of deviation by members of the public. They're just using the footpath as it has been for many years, and okay, they're not using the stile anymore, they're using something a metre to the right of it. That doesn't really represent a desire line, it's just a coping strategy for a lack of maintenance. But as I said before, that could easily be rectified by somebody going down there with a brush cutter once a year. It doesn't require the whole understory to be removed. It certainly doesn't require a canopy cover to be removed, which is what's happened on Mr. Coombs' land. I think there's quite a simple solution to this. I did set it out to Mr. Coombs in November. I haven't had a response to that email, but I have agreed to go and meet him tomorrow. It's maybe fortuitous that our meetings happen tomorrow after this meeting, but Councillor Capleton, you referred to a diagram here. I'm just trying to find it. That one, yeah, exactly. That shows you where the woodland was,
yes,
and an area that is now grassland. And I've set out in my report that we can neither control or require this to be managed in any particular way other than within the context of a tree preservation order. It's not subject to planning permission, and the suggestion that this would be managed as wildflower meadow doesn't stand up against what we can see on the ground at the moment, with the way the rest of the land is used, and it wouldn't represent an intervention that would have any sort of equivalent value within terms of TPO guidance. I'll just leave it there for now.
Could I respond?
Yes.
There was a hedgerow along that side, which you identified while pointing to the trees. Quite an established hedgerow. It grew to about 6 metres tall, and 50% of the trees are lost because they fall over the ditch, because they're too tall and covered in ivy. So there weren't a great deal of trees in the centre next to that area, because if you have a look at the historic records, you'll find that the Leicestershire County Council's public footpath ran in along that line before, and that was regularly cleared. So it's, that got overgrown, and in 2010 the local county council moved the footpath to its new location, and similarly that became overgrown. So the movement of the footpath to the location number four, as it happens through that field, which Mr. Blythe is looking to do, I have no knowledge of personally. I just know that something's in the offing, because I go to the parish council meetings. So, and we've got the house. It's a barn conversion. It was built in the 1950s. It's not just been there. Mm-hmm. The barn came way, way before the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to add something, Rupert?
No, not really. I mean, the hedgerow's there. It marks the boundary of the woodlands. I think it's a historic hedge. There's a simple remedy to trees and a hedge falling over, and that's to manage it as a hedgerow.
Hmm.
You know, that can be done sympathetically. It's not gutting it. It's they're two different things, really. You know, Mr. Coombs mentioned coppicing. That's a great idea.
Hmm.
Coppice with standards is a really good way to run a woodland.
So the fact
that it's not a woodland anymore because it's had the trees removed.
Yes. So the fact that the trees are overgrown is just that nobody's managed them. No sort of orders prevented them from being managed.
No.
Okay. So Mr. Whitfield, do you have any
a few points to make? Grateful to Mr. Coombs for his comments. He obviously knows the site better than mm-hmm. anybody. He knows it better than me, and he knows what's been happening. And it's very clear that Mr. Blythe hasn't come around destroying this area. He's been managing this area and carrying out work that was necessary. There's not been removal of large canopy trees by Mr. Blythe. It's been overgrown. Hawthorn and other items that did need some work carrying out to them. We would say that there's been no need for a tree preservation order in the past. This application has been made because of the removal of some hawthorn and an undercarriage to the trees that Mr. Blythe felt was necessary. And we considered that this application, rather than Mr. Blythe being overzealous in doing what he's done, that this application is somewhat overzealous. As I say, Mr. Coombs has knowledge of the area and has been very clear that Mr. Blythe hasn't been taking down trees. If it wasn't necessary before for a tree preservation order, then we say it's not necessary now. Obviously, a tree preservation order should only be made when it appears necessary to yourselves, it's expedient in the interest of amenity to make that order. We say that's not the case here. Mr. Blythe's shown no reason and has not carried out any removal of any large canopy trees. The woodland remains as it was, save for the removal of overgrown hawthorn. The area of land which is said to be of a particular amenity to the local area or local population on a footpath is effectively a very small area of land. Mr. Sims says it's conjecture how long the people spending it, but if they're going for a walk, they'll be through it in a couple of minutes. I've been to the site, I walked through it, and it was a couple of minutes to walk through that area of land. This is not a large piece of land, and in if you look at the overall area of the footpath, the right of way that exists, it's over open fields. That's not necessarily an amenity reason for keeping this particular area as a subject to a tree preservation order. As Mr. Sim says, it's kind of out of the way, this particular area, and it's not very easy to find. You'll see from the photographs, it's up a very, very difficult to drive up lane. So our position is that this tree preservation order, in the first instance, wasn't and isn't necessary. If you weren't with us on that, then we would certainly say that in relation to the suggested modification at the bottom end, then that was not woodland. It's clearly not been woodland in the past. Clearly the whole area has not been woodland, but it's still not woodland. And then that modification ought to take place, and that should be excluded from the plan. As far as the area on the side that's been cleared for the vehicular access, well, it was an overgrown area, and it's been cleared, and it is necessary for people to get down there with vehicles to manage the land. We don't believe that requires any intervention of any requirement to do anything with it. I'm not sure what would be suggested in terms of that area in any event. I've made some written comments and objections on behalf of my client, and we would rely on those.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillors, any questions?
Yes, please. Could I ask you, what is your client's intention without the tree preservation order of managing the land? Because, I mean, it's there's a big difference between on this that we've got photographs 7 and 8. I mean, is it the intention to sort of clear it?
No.
Every 6 months or... I put the word scout down, but you know, so it's just the point. I mean, presumably it's thought that is a reasonable wood. How often is it can be cleared?
Well, I can't speak for Blythe Farms Limited in terms of what people's intentions might be. I can only refer to the representations that are made with the approval of my client, which is that it's clear that, as it said in there, that the intention was to improve the area, not to make it worse. It is the fact that they have carried out a substantial amount of planting of trees in the local area in the past. So my client's objection to this is the fact that a tree preservation order is being foisted upon him rather than him being allowed to manage and look after his land as he sees fit. I think the fact that those trees are still there is evident that that's what he intends to happen, for those trees to be there. But I can't speak directly for him, but that's all I can say.
Any other comments? Rupert, do you have anything further to say?
Only really that you can see from figure 2 on page 40 just how denuded this woodland is and the size of some of the trees that have been removed. And you can see from the scale of the brush heaps, which does include some larger trees on page 43, again the scale of work that's happened here, and to my mind it does not represent sensitive woodland management. There is a concern about how this woodland's managed with respect to its amenity value, and I just put it to you that there's no reason why, assuming that the owner's intention is to retain those large trees and manage that sensitively, there's no reason why an order should inhibit that activity. Mm-hmm. However, it will afford the protection, given that, as we have heard, there is some uncertainty about what the actual intention of the land use is.
Can I make one final comment?
Yes, come.
Being a resident and being out there working on my garden, mm-hmm. The general consensus of opinion from the users of the footpath is that the clearance of the land has improved it. Improve the ambience. Mm. Their dogs can run free now, which are in that piece of land they can do, whereas they can't when there are livestock around. So the general consensus of the users is that the clearance of the land has improved the use, the feel of the area. From my perspective, we can see through the trees now. We can see the sun rising in the morning, so it's obviously helping us to enhancing our land as well. So we would support the work that Mr. Blythe has done, albeit that we weren't told about it beforehand. It just arrived and it got done. So,
any more comments or questions from anybody? No. Okay. So we're in a position now, and the committee, with the advice and its legal advisers necessary, will now discuss this matter and decide whether or not the order should be confirmed, and if so, whether or not without modification. During this part of the meeting, the parties may not participate. However, this is a public meeting, and the parties may continue to observe if they wish to. Right, who's going to be profound and kick off?
So I think, as we've seen in some of these committees, that the TPO, whether it's a woodland TPO or the other kind, is not going to prevent things like removal of dangerous trees, dead trees, good management, anything like that. If anything, I feel a little bit like this might actually improve the management for everybody, because there will be sort of a plan in place to make sure that things like diseased trees or dying trees are taken out, but that something appropriate is put in its place to retain that amenity. Mm. And I'm thinking as well about the replanting part of the order could well restore that amenity, because there's also the biodiversity aspect to the amenity. So if quite a large amount of tree has been removed, and then there's a loss of things like birds, for example, that comes in with the amenity as well. So the replanting in that case would support the amenity value.
I look on it that it is a wood. It's agricultural land. It is definitely a wood. We often make decisions about trees that are either deliberately planted or grow in the area without any encouragement. With the boundary for Mr. Coombs, it's really an artificial boundary. If the land hadn't have been bought, we'd look at this area as one. And I think with the term of amenity, we can see, I think the best one is the two photographs here, 7 and 8, which one shows a group of trees with no undergrowth, and the other one to me shows a wood, because the amenity is wildlife, insects, butterflies, birds, in a wood with no undergrowth like that. There isn't a lot living in it. So personally, I'd go for the option in Appendix 3, that we exclude the southern part of the thing near the brook, and the rest of the order.
You're in my hand.
I tend to agree with Julian, actually. There's been a lot of clearance work done before this TPO, and had the TPO not been done, I dread to think how much more clearance work would have been done, to be honest. So, I would probably entertain what Julian's just...
Now then, that's fair enough. Now, we'll I'm shuffling papers. It's near the back.
It's the last...
Very last page. Oh, yes. So we exclude that, you reckon?
That's the proposed. The part in blue with the red line on the right down.
What about the strip of land adjacent to Mr. Coombe's property?
Well, as I said, to me, looking at it from my point of view, it's an artificial boundary. We look at a wood as a wood. The boundary could have been further over or one way or another. So that was just what I was... I don't see the ownership of the land affects the TPO. TPO can cover land owned by a lot of people.
And also, again, with Mr. Coombs' worry about the large trees that fell on his house,
yes,
and then coming up to his, you know, coming up to the boundary of his property, it's my understanding that, again, if there's a management plan in place, that work on that couldn't happen anyway. So obviously, again, if there's a danger or a problem, that could be resolved within the plan that still restores the woodland.
Simon?
Yeah, exactly what Councillor Needham said. Yeah, it's a bit of a concern replacing that with a wildflower area, to be honest. And if it was managed, as Rupert suggested, then I think the problem would be avoided. Yeah.
So can we take that as a proposal from you, Julian?
Yes, go. We just need, though, helpful just to explain why we're accepting the suggestion to remove this bottom area. Why is that different? Are we saying it is? Why should that area be excluded? Because Rupert's, the order as it's currently drafted, the whole area.
Wasn't there acceptance that wasn't? Hadn't been woodland.
Yes, it's set out on page 38. Was the reason why that was suggested by Rupert. The reason that it might be appropriate to exclude that was it was acknowledged did lack a woodland character.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, isn't it, that we issue these orders to prevent something happening, and we have to have when the officers issue it, they do it in a broad area, and if we ameliorate it by revising it downwards, as we're into, my point. But we have to do this because, as we know, we've had problems in the past where, if we don't issue a TPO and try and get assurance, things get cleared. And all we're doing is saying we acted and we're prepared to modify it. Thank you.
Okay, so for proposal from Julian, seconded.
Yep.
Seconded from Norman Eden. Well. We have a majority.
Yes,
thank you. TPO stays subject to that amendment.
And I'll get the revised plan if it costs you the order.
So now we need to define that area for Catherine for 5 minutes.
I can do it from the purpose of the agenda. That's fine. So you've decided to confirm the order with a modification to exclude the southern part of the site. That's outlined on the final page of the agenda papers, and Rupert will issue me with a revised plan based on I require
Officially, having considered in accordance with the procedures set out in the Council's Constitution the objection of the order, the committee considers that the reasons put forward for not protecting the trees in the Appendix 3 outweigh the contribution they make to the amenity, and the other trees are of amenity value and should therefore be protected. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.